Hey there, do you dream of escaping into a book? Maybe your escape includes a cozy cabin in the mountains or a magical town along the coast. Either way, you're in the right place. Welcome to Literary Escapes with me, Becky. This year on the podcast, we're exploring the United States. So every week I'm going to bring you a new book set in a different state. So let's see where we're going today.
So welcome back to the Literary Escape podcast. We are continuing our tour around the United States. This is week 18, and we are going to South Carolina today. Our author this week is Jackie Layton. Welcome, Jackie.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me, Becky.
I am excited to have you. I have to tell you that my experience with South Carolina is driving up is it I-95, and it's really small. And so I have to say I love South Carolina because it's really small when we're on our way up. So that's a horrible thing to say about South Carolina. So tell me your experience, because I'm guessing it's 100 times better than mine.
So we moved to South Carolina in 2017 for a job for my husband, and all of our family either lives in Kentucky or Texas, so we don't get the small little bit. We go clear across the state to get everywhere we're going.
Your experience driving through is very different.
Yes, yes. And once you get off I-95 to get to Pawleys Island, you're on 2 hours of back roads. There's really no other way to get from 95 to where I live.
Anywhere, yeah.
Yeah, but it's a lot of farmland and some wooded area. So it's always interesting.
Yeah. It's funny because when you think of South Carolina, I don't really think of farmland. So that's really interesting.
A lot of cotton fields.
That makes sense. Yeah. That makes sense. We go to the Outer Banks up in North Carolina. And so that's our experience driving through South Carolina. And when we go from 95 east, we see a lot of cotton fields, tobacco also. And so I'm guessing that that's similar. That's really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you live on the coast, right?
We do. We are not on the actual island, but we can get on our golf cart and be on the island in less than 5 minutes.
We are ridiculously
close. We do too. We always dreamed of living on the coast, but just really never thought it would happen. And
that's so awesome. When,
yeah. Yeah. We feel very blessed.
Yeah. When the opportunity came up, what a beautiful thing, huh?
Yes. Yes.
That's awesome. So, have you been to different beaches in the U.S., you know, just for comparison's sake? Because I live in Florida, and so we have lots of beaches and lots of different kinds of beaches. So I'm just curious, South Carolina, what are your beaches like?
So ours are, they're not rugged like the Northeast, but they're not like the soft, beautiful, sandy, like Destin, that area.
Yeah, yeah.
Some days we have like clear blue and green water, but mostly it's just a little more murky. Just the weather drives that like it
absolutely
does everything
yep
else.
Nice. That's
but
awesome.
But we do have a lot of beach area for sitting out, doing sandcastles, playing games.
Nice.
So it's not a teeny tiny stretch. We, depending on the tide again, you know, that you can have lots of play area.
Nice. So what is the name of the beach near your area?
It is Pawleys Island, Pawleys Island.
I've heard of that. Okay, nice.
Very nice. You know, next time you go to the Outer Banks, you need to stop for coffee.
Exactly. Take that 2 hour detour.
Yeah. Give me a call.
That sounds awesome. That sounds really awesome. So tell me things about South Carolina that people may not know.
Well, ghosts are a big deal here. I've lived in Georgia and Kentucky, most of my life in Kentucky, and really ghosts weren't even part of the conversation, but ghosts are a big deal here. Our porches, the ceiling, a lot of people paint them a specific blue called paint blue. Now, this paint blue keeps the ghost out of your house.
Who knew?
Yeah. So I don't know if in Florida you can go to your, paint shop and ask for that color or not. But here,
I'm going to ask. I love that. That is so interesting.
So that's a big deal here. On our island, we have a specific ghost called the Gray Man, like the color gray.
Okay.
Years ago, he was out to sea. He came back to Charleston, and his girlfriend was in Polly's Island. A storm was brewing. On his way to come see her and propose, he was on his horse, got stuck in the marsh, and died.
Oh, bummer.
So then, she's all sorrowful. She's going for long walks, just can't get over it. And then one day she sees him in the distance, his ghost, and she walks up to him and she's trying to ask him questions. And all he says is, "A storm is coming. You need to leave." So she went home, told her family, they all left. And a storm did come and it destroyed all the homes except for her home.
Oh my gosh.
So today, if you see the gray man and he tells you to leave, you
leave.
Better leave. And he will, tradition says, he will protect your home if you listen to him and leave.
Wow.
If you stay, you're out of,
you're
out of luck.
That's so fun.
There are businesses called like Gray Man Heating and Air. The neighborhood behind me is called Gray Man's Loop. I mean, Gray Man.
I love that.
I know it's part of our existence here.
That is so fun. I love that. And I've been to Savannah, which is kind of in that same stretch, and they have a big paranormal, a ghost tours and that kind of thing. So I didn't even think that that would be part of you guys's life, but I love that. That's so fun.
It's a big deal here.
So do ghosts ever make their way into your books? Since
so far they have not.
Okay.
I just haven't figured out how to add a ghost into a book. So I haven't done that yet.
Okay. That's
I
fun.
Don't know if I will, because
people
who are really into the paranormal, if I dip into it, I feel like I'm gonna get,
you're either in it or you're not, it feels like. And
And I'm still on the learning edge.
I hear you. Well, that's so fun. So by day you are a pharmacist, is that right?
I am a part-time pharmacist, yes.
And so how did that translate into doing an author stuff, writing books?
I always wanted to write books. I read all kinds of books growing up. But when it was time to go to college, my dad was a pharmacist and I loved what he did. I loved how people responded to him. And so that is a concrete profession I could wrap my head around.
Right.
And, author to me was so lofty, and I was not worthy.
And it's
I was just
out
a
there,
normal person. So I became a pharmacist, but I still, all these years, I kept reading. I read to my kids. I have two sons, and I feel so blessed. They are both big readers, and I've got grandchildren who enjoy reading.
Isn't that awesome?
When my youngest son was in high school, I never kind of got rid of that dream. And I thought, you know what? I'm getting older. If I don't do this, if I don't at least try one day, I'm going to regret it.
Yeah.
So I started taking a few classes, and I had a friend. I joined a little writing group. And one of the ladies, her daughter is Brandilyn Collins. And Brandilyn kept saying, "You need to join an organization. You need to take more classes." So I joined an organization. So then next time I saw her, she's like, okay, now you need to go to a conference. And I'm like, what? Out of my comfort zone. But she was so encouraging. It was more than a nudge, but I got to the point, well, I'm going to have to go. Mm-hmm. So I went to my first conference, knowing maybe two people, and I was a wreck.
It's a lot, isn't it?
Yes.
What was your first conference?
It was a ACFW, American Christian Fiction Writers Conference, okay, in Dallas, Texas.
Okay.
And Brandilyn was on the board. So that's the one she was telling me, you got to go to, you got to go to.
Awesome.
So,
okay.
So yeah, so I went, I made some friends. I was mostly a wallflower, but
I get that.
But I learned a lot. So
when you went to your first one, did you have any books out yet?
No.
Isn't that hard?
It is.
Yeah.
And one of the speakers said, it takes the normal person 10 years from the day they start writing to get published.
And holy moly.
That's what I thought. I thought, forget it. But even though I had heard some discouraging things, I heard some encouraging things mm-hmm. too. So I just kept plodding away.
Good
and the big jump came when we moved to South Carolina, because I changed from full-time pharmacist to just part-time and really threw myself into writing.
Nice.
So yeah.
And so your books are cozy mystery, right?
Yes.
And did you start in cozy, or did you start other places?
Actually, I started in romantic suspense.
Ooh.
And, you know, that's a lot of chases. And it was actually at a conference. I spoke to a Guidepost Cozy Mystery person who was starting that line for them.
Okay.
And I talked and I thought, cozy mysteries is where I need to be.
Yeah,
felt like everything clicked into place, and that's my comfort happening.
Nice.
So that was a big deal when I changed over to writing cozy.
Yeah, and you kind of know, oh yeah, this is where I belong. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
I like that. That's really cool. And so what was your first book that you wrote?
Bite the Dust. Okay, yes, Bite the Dust. And it is set in the Low Country. It's a dog walker mystery.
Yeah.
And I actually got an agent and she pitched it, and that's how I got my publisher.
That's really cool. That's impressive for the timing, that because you've got several books out now, and typically mm-hmm. publisher, do they only do one book a year for you?
So the first year of the Dog Walker series, two books came out.
Okay.
And then after that, it was one a year.
Okay.
I have contracts with Level Best Books for a series in Texas and a series in Georgia, and those are one a year.
Okay.
So for a while, I've been three a year with different publishers.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's so interesting how people kind of piece their careers together. I like hearing that. And I don't think sometimes readers have any idea all the behind the scenes stuff that has to happen. And you know, I know readers like, you know, sometimes it's frustrating as a reader to only get one book a year. And mm-hmm. if you love a book, you have to wait a whole year to get the next one. That's so frustrating. But it's not always up to you when you're traditionally published. So,
right. The publishers have you, when you sign your contract, it's like, this is due on this date. So it's very well organized.
Right. And they have a calendar of, you know, dozens, if not hundreds of authors that they're piecing in there. So,
right.
You're a piece of their puzzle. And that's awesome. Congratulations on all of that, because that's a big deal. So
thank you. Yeah, a dream come true.
That's really cool. And so do you still do pharmacy part-time?
Part-time. I'm actually working at a compounding pharmacy, which is different than retail. We make specific things, like your doctor might say, you need this, and we make a specific thing just for you. We do a lot of dog medicine and a lot of cat medicine.
How interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
That's, I would not have thought that was a thing, but
it
obviously,
is.
yeah, obviously animals need medicine too. I don't know why I would have thought differently. So that's really interesting. So your Low Country Dog Walker series, I love when people put animals in their books. And are you a big animal person?
Yes. I feel like I've always had a dog in my life. Our Westie recently died, and we had him for over 16 years, and it was so heartbreaking. We haven't quite gotten to the next. I think we're just about there. But we haven't quite made the leap yet.
Yeah, our kitty, we had to put her down last year, and it was really hard. So yeah, she was, I was thinking about it this morning, and she had been part of my son's life since he was four, and he is just finishing up his junior year in college now. And I'm holy moly, that's like his whole life. He's had this kitty.
Can I tell you a sweet story?
Absolutely.
So our Westie, his name was Hines, and it's like you said, it was my son's dog. Then he goes off to college. So then it's pretty much our dog. Then he gets married, and now Hines is full-time our dog.
Yeah.
And then a few years later, Scott and Kelly have their first baby, and they came to the beach. And so the first year they came, Hines is like, "Wait a minute, Scott is my boy. Who is this?
Who's this little human?" Yeah.
And so he stayed his distance. He didn't, growl or bark or anything, but he was like just standing back watching. So we had, blankets out, and the baby was playing on it, and he went to take a nap. We put him down for a nap. Hines goes over onto that blanket and he pees right on the blanket. Like he is stating his, not happy. He's never done anything like that before. So we're like, "Oh, you bad boy." But, we understood.
Oh, that's so funny.
Then the next year they came back. Zane is one now. Hines is like, "Okay, well, I guess
the kid's
the
staying.
Family,
yeah.
And I have to deal with it." And before the end of the week, Hines was right there with Zane. Oh. Zane's patting him, just loving on him. And it was just,
that's
it just
sweet
really,
to see.
Yes, it was just kind of full circle. Like,
that's sweet. Animals are so funny about how they do things. And that's funny that I had a cat that I had gotten her when I lived out in Colorado. She moved with me. He moved with me, I would bet like 10 times. He had to have been so sick of moving, but it was, young 20s, and that's what you do,
Right.
And so he moved, poor thing, moved from Colorado to Florida with me and my husband. And, then we have kids and, same thing. And so we were having a remodel done, and I asked my mom to babysit the cat for us, because there was going to be people in and out and I didn't want him to get away. Well, when construction was all done, I went to bring Kitty home. He didn't want to come. He was enjoying life at grandma's. And so every time I went over there, he hid and wouldn't come out until I left.
It's hilarious.
It was hysterical. So he lived his retirement years with grandma, and they both thoroughly enjoyed each other. So he had a good life, and but it was pretty funny.
Yeah, that is.
So we are in the book club reading the first book from the Dog Walker series. And so can you tell us what Bite the Dust is about?
So Bite the Dust is about Indy Grace Scott. She is a dog walker. She has grown up in this community. Her parents, the summer she was going to go off to college, her parents were killed in a hit and run accident. So she raises her younger brother and sister, never leaves home, never goes to college. She is firmly rooted in that community and becomes a dog walker, gives her flexibility to, you know, finish raising her brother and sister, you know, support them. And she knows all the locals and she's in and out of their houses. They, you know, she has a system, they have keys. She's in and out walking their dogs. And she goes to a friend's house. He's a man who had kind of mentored her. And she goes in to take care of the dog and the dog is just barking like crazy. And she's like, what is wrong? And she goes in and finds her friend has been murdered.
Oh, no.
So that is how that starts out. And so she, so now her brother and sister are adults. And she thought, I couldn't do anything to help solve the hit and run. They never caught that person. I never helped do anything, get justice for my parents. But I'm going to get justice for Peter. I'm going to figure out who killed him. And so that's kind of her mission from the moment she finds the body till the end of the book.
Nice. I like that. I like that. And so you have, this is a, so far a 6-book series, right? You just had book number 6 come out, right?
Yes. Yes.
Awesome. And so tell us about the newest book that is out.
So in book 1, Andy Grace meets a man. And through the series, they grow closer. And in book 6, they're getting ready for their wedding.
Okay.
And it's going to be a double wedding with her brother and best friend are also getting married. So they're preparing for the wedding. And of course, there's another dead body. And
darn those dead bodies.
I know it. So it's the photographer who was going to take their pictures, and it's a young single mom, and Andy Grace is just like, I've got to, you know, again, get justice for my friend. And there's also some loose threads, not necessarily loose threads, but some things throughout the series that are going to wrap
kind of
up
carry over book. Throughout. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Nice.
There's a baby, there's a surprise family member. So there's going to be some interesting things. At this point, I don't have a contract for book 7. So I tried to wrap up any lingering questions.
Yeah. Just in case.
In
yeah.
Book. Yes.
Okay. How fun. So excellent. So I am looking forward to diving into that one. I
am
downloading it tonight because I just finished up my other book. So ready for a new one. And I love cozy mysteries. I think they hit all the fun spots and I enjoy that. So when you read, do you read cozy mysteries or do you branch out?
I like to read cozy. I do love to read cozies, but sometimes I get nervous. Like, I don't want to get distracted from my.
Yeah, cozy. You don't want to put anything in accidentally, and yeah.
Yes, yeah. So I am kind of careful about. I mean, I do read some cozies, but I do try to minimize it just to be careful.
I get that.
I do a lot of reading research books. Like there's this one book about wish I had it with me. It's another room, but I'm reading about people who do cons and people who fall. Like, why do we always fall?
Yeah.
For cons?
Yeah.
So,
that's,
you know,
interesting.
That's kind of fun. Cause as I read it, I think, how am I going to work this into a book?
Exactly.
Cool. so I read, actually, I read more nonfiction these days, but I do, you know, just for a change, I'll read a romance or.
So, it's fun that you can read, you know, a romance or a cozy mystery, something that's, you know, quote unquote, light and fluffy, maybe, you know, not hard literary fiction. And still learn things and, you know, pick up these new things that the author throws in there, you know, like the psychology of a con man or, you know, something like that, that, or a career that you might not have heard of before and learn a little bit about that. And so I enjoy that. That's, My sister and I were talking about that on our walk this morning. I think that's one of the fun things about reading is you can learn a lot of different things. And one of my things is, you know, that's the book club is traveling around the country and learning about all the different states, because I've been to a lot of them, but I haven't been to all 50 of them. And so this is kind of my way of touching base with them all, because I know I can't get to them all. Certainly not in a year. So it's been fun. It's been fun kind of learning all the little secrets and all the fun local stuff about some of the different states that we've been, that we visited this year. So,
right.
Yeah. So thank you for sharing South Carolina with us. Thank you for sharing the dog walker series with us, the Low Country dog walker series. And I look forward to diving into your book.
Thank you so much, Becky. I appreciate you hosting me, and it's been a lot of fun talking to you.
It's been a lot of fun talking to you too. Have a great rest of your day.
Thanks. You too.
Thanks for joining me today. If you'd like to be part of the Read Across the U.S. Book Club, I'd love to have you join us. There is a link in the show notes. So just head down there and click, and we will welcome you in. So see you in the book club, I hope. Have a great day, and we'll see you next week with a new episode.